This is Confessions of a Pastor. A relentlessly real peek behind the scenes of Journey Church in Bend, Oregon. From church in a strip club to a strip mall, going where Jesus would go to reach people Jesus would reach. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all for the glory of God. A journey of misery and miracles. Your hosts are the founders, Pastor Keith and Kara. There really is hope for everyone.
Well, hey everyone, TGIF, it is that time today, Confessions of a Pastor. I'll tell you, it's Friday today, and Kara, it's a very special day.
It is
our youngest daughter's birthday.
15th birthday.
Come on, she is a young woman now.
Yes.
And she's always shared a birthday with my mother,
yeah,
who has now passed away. She passed away last July, mm-hmm. And my mom used to joke from the day she was born, like, she can take my birthday.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, I don't want to grow older, so she can just have it. But today is a special day in the books. It is also Friday, which is always awesome, going into the weekend, some Sabbath rest. It is a sunny day, which I find to be exceptional. I always get more energy with the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
I know not everybody responds the same way, but my mood changes.
Yeah.
I get more energy, more optimistic. It is so good and great to be with you all. We just enjoy our time with you. We've been hearing from so many of you, and we want to just say we're honored. Thank you for taking the time to encourage us and bless us. So wherever you're listening, whether you're doing yard work, you're in your car, you're at work, maybe you're on the toilet, wherever you are, we just want to say it's good to be with you today.
It is. It is. Thank you for coming, journeying with us on this path.
Yes, on this path of Confessions of a Pastor. Well, we just share with you about our lives behind the scenes as lead pastors of Journey Church in beautiful Bend, Oregon. We're so grateful for what God's doing. I mean, sometimes it looks good, but there's also the bad, there's the ugly, and there's everything in between.
Right.
A church is a lot like a marriage.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Mm-hmm. And it's a mess because it's made up of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible actually says that the mystery of marriage is just like the mystery of the church with our relationship with Jesus. I'm referencing Ephesians chapter 5, and, you know, marriage is hard work, church is hard work. There are so many blessings when it comes to marriage, especially when you do work at it and you glorify God and put Jesus at the center. But the enemy also wants to destroy marriage, just like he wants to do that with the church. And there's just so many parallels.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we talk about marriage, next week we're doing our first ever marriage conference through Journey Church, which I'm excited about. I've had this dream for a long time. So now executing this is absolutely incredible. I believe if we can pull off this conference, Kara, we could do more conferences.
Yes. Amen.
But it's been a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many details. I did not realize how many details there are in pulling off a conference, even in the last minute. And we're excited to have we're going to have special speakers.
Yes.
Emily and Marshall Jameson coming down from Gig Harbor, Washington. Emily has changed so many lives of women at Journey Church, and we believe that they're going to pour massively into our marriages here.
Yeah.
Then we also have Hannah and Paul McClure going to lead some worship for us.
Special guest worship artists.
Really excited about that.
That's going to be awesome.
I enjoy their music. We played in our home.
Yeah.
And then we have these hosts that are good looking. They're great. I'm just so blessed. Well, at least by one of them. That is, we are going to be the hosts at the marriage conference.
Right?
Kara, are you excited?
There you go. I am excited, actually. I'm a little nervous because I think it's because we're not bringing the content. We're not bringing the meat of it.
Yeah. So you have to trust God.
Yeah. Right. Which
trust
is good.
Others.
But I'm excited, and I really believe that, regardless of where you think you are in your marriage, it's always good to invest in your marriage.
Amen.
So it will be profitable. There will be a return on the investment.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about that because
yes.
marriage is really important. Like I think you just said, the enemy wants to divide and destroy and he goes after marriages
yes.
and that's real and that's intense. So I think this will be a really good time to focus on that, on each other and
investing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a return unless you invest.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a principle of sowing. That's true financially. It's true in relationships. And this is going to be good. We had a fun promo video for the marriage conference that went out, and we had different age couples from young to middle and a couple that had been together for a while. And it was fun. Their questions were asked without knowing what the question would be. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions were, what's my favorite date night? Mm-hmm. It was fun. One of our elders, Chris, he answered Friday night.
Right.
He didn't answer. Genius. Yeah. He didn't answer with dinner and dancing or dinner movie. It was like, how about Friday nights are your favorite?
Something about humor, though, is just like we can all relate to it. Yes. You know, like
We've talked about that ourselves. What's favorite date night? We're pretty simple. You and I think we just like the simple things in life. So let me ask you.
That's true.
You a question, Kara. If we could get on a plane today and go anywhere, where would you want a vacation? If we could, just you and me, no kids, no budgeting.
That's really easy.
And money is no option. All right.
Well, jet. If you're going to go there,
let's go there.
I don't even know because, I'll just make a confession here. Yes. I've never been outside of the United States. Okay. So I don't even have a dream of where I could go or would want to go. I've seen pictures of Mexico. That looks fun.
All right.
But when you said that to me, with my very limited perspective in life, I would go to Arizona.
Come on,
I love Arizona. I would go there. I
Palm
would spend
trees,
a week there.
Yes. Pools, yes. Good food. Yes. Come on. I want to join you on this vacay if you don't mind.
Yes.
Unless you want to go by yourself.
No, I want you with me.
All right. Let's go. I'm happy to go there with you. You got a question for me?
Ooh. Well, where would you go if you could get on a plane and go anywhere right now?
Anywhere in the world. I'm going to choose somewhere like Arizona, but because we can go anywhere and I didn't limit this, let's go to Fiji.
Okay.
Let's spend a month in Fiji.
Yeah.
I just would like some sunshine, warm water, and I love going places that we know we won't bump into anyone. Even when we go to Arizona, we bump into people.
That's true.
We bumped into them at shopping
in Vegas,
malls.
We bumped into people in Vegas, too.
Vegas number of times. Yeah. But even in the airport in Arizona. I mean, it doesn't matter where we go.
It's
but
all
Fiji,
good.
I think we could probably go there and not bump into somebody.
I would agree.
So, all right. There we go. Fiji it is. So it's good to dream, y'all. Don't stay where you are, whether it's you're single, you're married, you're widowed, divorced. I tell you, we have a God that's a God of abundance, and he can do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think in your inner being. So let God work in your life. So looking forward to that. By the way, if you get this before, I'd say the 22nd or 23rd, and you want to go to the marriage conference, we have very few limited spots. I want to encourage you to be a part of this.
Yes.
It's going to be well worth it. Make history. Let's see if we should do something like this again. And we would be honored to have you as our special guest. And Kara, you know, speaking of mess and just all that God's doing, I tell you, last few weeks have been difficult in our lives and in the church, but last Sunday night, we had pursuit night, and it was probably the most powerful worship prayer gathering I'm trying not to embellish this, that we've ever had at Journey Church in Bend.
It was. And ironically, we didn't stream it. So, you know, it didn't go public. Mm-hmm. And there was actually something really intimate about that.
Just to pause on that about streaming, you know, we've wrestled about that. We realize we've got listeners that really follow us from afar in terms of Journey Church and what Journey's doing. And some people, that's how they engage is online. But Pursuit Nights are really interesting because it's where we leave room for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I've wrestled with it for many, many months. When we started it, we did not stream it. And then we had people from all over the country, even some in Texas and different places that said, man, if you stream this, we would love to be involved and engaged. So we started streaming it, but there's something lost in the intimacy of allowing room for freedom.
Amen.
There's vulnerability, whether it's crying or processing. And so sometimes I would just say on streaming, it could actually come across either weird, awkward, or maybe even inappropriate. I don't know if that's right to say.
Yeah. I think a whole variety of things. And there's just something that's just raw. It's just raw when it's not going live. It's we're just all there collectively with a surrendered posture to just receive what the Lord has for us. And I think that's what happened on Sunday night. And I think there was a lot of healing that took place that night. And I don't mean just physical. I mean some emotional healing. And I think there was just the Holy Spirit was there.
Amen. So at Pursuit Nights, for those that either are joining us for the first time or are unaware of what Pursuit Nights are, we call it our worship and prayer services. We're on a pursuit of God. And when we pursue the presence of God, there's something spectacular happens. God meets us. You know, the scriptures tell us in Jeremiah 29 that when we seek the Lord, we will find him, when we seek him with all of our hearts.
And that's a promise. Like, I feel like that's an irrevocable promise. Mm-hmm. Like he says, seek him.
Amen.
Seek me and you will find me. And so we can cling to that.
Yes.
He'll show up.
Yes. And so what we do at Pursuit Nights is it's different than our Sunday morning services for a variety of reasons. We try to strip away anything that could be a distraction. So we actually don't do any, the fog, which is helpful for lights. We don't do any background for our songs. We just keep it black and white. We don't have any planned message going into the night. Sometimes we have maybe an idea or a theme, much like these podcasts, where we just leave room for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And even the music team, they'll usually know what opening song they're going to do. Yeah. And then after that, they leave room. Yeah. You know, they'll have songs like in their head, but it's not like Sunday morning. We know exactly what songs. Mm-hmm. So even the people behind the scenes that are bringing up the words, they've got to work a little harder. Yeah. You know, they've got to...
You got to be on the ball. I've been in that position where you're listening to the MDs and trying to figure out what are they saying? Where are they going? Oh, what song is that? I got to find it real quickly.
Yes, the MD is the music director. Yeah. So they have a mic that they're able to talk into, and there's in-ear monitors. So they're able to hear things that no one hears out in the house. That's what the, you know, through the main speakers. And so we're going where we believe God is leading us. Mm-hmm. And simply creating environments that would foster a safe space to get real with God.
Yeah.
God loves transparency, honesty, confession, vulnerability, repentance.
Yeah. And we always start the night with praise and worship.
Amen.
So like that ushers in the presence of God, a surrendered heart. Like,
that's great.
So we start with that and then move into often prayer.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, the word a little bit, but, I feel like that's what happened on Sunday night is we praised and we worshiped and then prayer was offered. And then from there, like God really, really showed up.
Yes, we had our very close friend, Pastor Alex Mutagubia from the City Church Luzira, Uganda, with us that weekend. He preached a powerful sermon that morning out of Ephesians 4, which was great because it was simple and yet profound in the sense that he talked about how you can only have one allegiance. Your allegiance is either all into God or it's not. And some people think they have a posture of, well, I'm neither. Well, he argues that no, you are one or the other. And then he uses a metaphor for the kingdom in the sense of saying we're building an altar to someone. So we're either building an altar to God, and this is metaphorical of sacrifice, that you're a living, you know, sacrifice to God. That is your altar, or you're not. There's not an either or. So what is your allegiance? And I believe that he was setting a precedence where he was even challenging our church in the sense of what are you living for? And at the second service, he told people, he didn't do it, I guess, at the first is what I heard. He said, come back tonight for Pursuit Nights. It's going to be worth it.
Oh, he said it at both, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he actually, which looking back, he prophetically said, I believe healing's going to happen tonight.
Wow.
He said, in my spirit, I feel the healing's going to happen. And he said it at both because I was there at both. And that is what happened.
Wow.
So I think he prophesied that towards, the forward. And we also just have been in a really hard season as a church in the last few weeks. So, so there was people that needed healing.
Amen.
And we got healing.
So that night, we approached it and it seemed like a normal Pursuit Night. The worship goes and it was good. And, by the standards of like, hey, this is starting off normal. And I got up and prayed like I normally do. And actually, I take it back. That first song Was that the Lazarus song?
Yeah, that was the...
Because that hit me.
Yeah. That's how the whole thing started.
There was breakthrough in my own heart.
Yeah.
I think that's what started it.
Yeah.
There was a line of the song that said, just like Lazarus, you know, and talking about coming out of the grave. And in my spirit, I couldn't help but think about that story. How it's befitting to the Christian life that Jesus brings us back to life, and yet Lazarus' life was difficult thereafter. People, the religious wanted to kill him. The spirit of religion wanted to actually stop this message of the uniqueness. It was just didn't make sense what Jesus did in Lazarus. So the solution was get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, there's gossip around him. There was, you know, where is he? And there was this tension the rest of his life. And you'd think, man, if God does something transformational in your life,
people will celebrate it.
Yeah. Your life will be easier. But sometimes when God's truly transforming your life and the power of God is at work, it's not always... Well, I shouldn't say it's not always. It won't ever be easier because now the enemy wants to stop what God has done in your life.
Right.
So I got that revelation even during that song, and I just went up and sang with them at the end. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm 46 years old, going on 47 soon, and I just realized, you know, like I was just dancing and just I didn't care what anybody else thought of me, saw me. I just wanted to just believe what we were singing. And by the end of it, I was just even already physically exhausted. I was like, oh man, like worship can be exhausting. We've talked about that, how when you get real and raw with God, like I told you today, I practiced my sermon on Sunday and I was preaching to nobody. And when I got done preaching, I was exhausted. And I told you, I was just preaching to myself.
Right.
And when you get real with God's word and with the Holy Spirit, it can be exhausting. It's just real. So even after that first song, I think there was a vulnerability in my heart and maybe the atmosphere changed, you know, like, okay, this is a night we're going to get real.
Yeah.
And we started off praying and, you know, I didn't know where the night was going. I thought it was going to be just kind of a normal night, if I can say such a thing, because there is no normal pursuit night. But then I really challenged Pastor Alex if he wanted to do anything that night. Mm. I give a word of knowledge, share something prophetic, a scripture, just pray over us, pray to the Lord. I didn't care. I really open-handedly told him, what do you want to do, Pastor? And he was very open to it. He was very willing. And Kara, I kept asking him. I kept looking at him. I kept waiting. And we were, you know, singing song after song after song. I'm like, come on, Alex, like, go. And I kept like kind of like... I tried to be as passive aggressive as I could. I wasn't being blunt, like get up there, but I was like, anytime you want to go up there, feel free, go ahead and pray, you know? And finally, I think it was maybe three songs in, we needed to praise.
Yeah.
And he gets up and he just prays the most, I don't know how you would say it, but, silent prayer. Like he's got this, he's got this baritone voice, but he didn't need to be energetic or charismatic. He welcomed the presence of God through prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just slowing things down, just coming off of praising God through song. He just prayed like talking to a father, like inviting a friend. We welcome your presence here. Mm-hmm. And he probably spent 3 to 5 minutes just inviting the presence of God calmly. That would be the word.
Yeah.
Calmly. I don't know. What were you thinking when he was praying? Were you thinking anything?
Not necessarily. Mm. I think I was just like in the moment, like, you know.
Yeah.
Going with him. But no, nothing profound or anything.
Well, I was thinking in the moment. As he was praying, I was thanking God because I thought Alex was going to pull some of the fire that he does in Uganda. Because I really love Pastor Alex. I love his church. And I know for me, like when I go visit them, I receive now, I call it an impartation. Like I go and I get something different, something fresh from God, you know, and I don't put a burden on the Lord for that, but I welcome it. And I know each time I've gone there, I just get something and they bring a fire. And if Pastor Alex wants to get excited, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he brings a fire. I mean, he can start screaming where he's no longer a baritone voice. Mm. I mean, he's like screaming. And
I don't think I've ever seen him do that.
Oh, he can.
Well, you know? I haven't been to Africa.
And when he comes to America, he brings a very Western perspective. And so much so that I've really told him, we want you to feel safe and at home at Journey Church. And he preaches more at Journey other churches he more teaches. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a doctorate degree and master's degree. I mean, these are from, you know, conservative seminaries. So he knows how to conform to American Bible churches. But as he's praying, Kara, for me, in my heart, I thought to myself, well, I thought he was going to bring some fire. But man, this is good. Because he just, what he was praying was so sound theologically. And I was like, okay, Lord, I do want your presence.
Yeah.
So my prayer just aligned with his prayer. I do want your presence. Mm-hmm. And he had told me beforehand, hey, are you okay if I maybe invite people to get prayed over and I pray over people? Mm. I said, sure. Do you want me to join you? He says, yeah, I think that'd be nice. Let's just pray over people. I said, sure. So he prayed. And then he said, let's just go down to the front and pray over people. So I did, mm-hmm. expecting what we've done before. You mm-hmm. pray over people's backs hurting,
yeah.
you know, over a cancer diagnosis, mm-hmm. over struggling marriages. Yeah. These are common themes yeah. that we're praying over. Addiction sometimes. I mean, just, you know, the whole gauntlet of what we need God to work into in terms of prayer. But we get up there and I lay my hands on the first person. I'm thinking, I'm just going to prophesy over them, pray. And, you know, I'm just praying. I can sense to my left, there's more than meets the eye happening. I don't know. Were you observing this from where you were sitting?
Oh, yeah, watched the whole thing,
yeah. Because I'm like trying to keep my eyes closed. I'm trying to just pray. Like I'm trying to focus, if you will. What were you witnessing, Kara? And tell me not only what you were witnessing at Pursuit Night, what were you thinking? walk me through.
Oh my goodness. I don't really know where to start because this, this is new territory. Okay. I'll preface it with this. This is new territory for me.
For you, for us, our family and the church, yes. Journey Church.
And so I want to preface that as this is like, this is not something that we like
have done
sought after.
Oh, gotcha.
That we
yes,
contrived,
yes.
Mm. like, This is literally like an organic, I feel like it's an organic movement of the Spirit.
Come on.
At Journey Church.
Yeah, we're not emulating something that we've been through.
No, because I've never seen it. Yes. Okay, so it's not an emulation. So I'll just preface it with that, okay?
Okay.
Because I know it's going to sound weird, but to our confessioners here listening, I mean, we've been on our own journey of faith, right? It's like going from your head to your heart, you know, like believing this to like
experiencing
living it and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit.
Come on, let's go there.
At work in the church and in our own lives. Mm. And it started back in our sabbatical where we just declared war on the enemy over our children.
Yes.
That's where it started.
Yes.
And we saw breakthrough. Like I saw breakthrough that I never, if I were going to be really honest, believe that I would see as quickly as we saw it. And it happened in the war room. Okay. So that's where I started seeing like, this stuff is real.
And that was full surrender. That's when we said, we don't care if we lose the church, we lose our livelihoods. We were like, God will do anything. We just want the real God in our lives in a real way.
Absolutely.
We want our kids to love you. We want to be healthy.
100%. We want to go where you want us to go. We want to be where your presence is. We don't want to go ahead of you.
We want healing. We need restoration.
Yeah, amen. All the things. And so we opened
gave it
our
all up.
We literally, yes, and we've talked about this before. I don't mean to rehash that. We gave everything up just to have the Lord hand it right back to us, but in a multifaceted fashion.
God ended up blessing.
He did, yes, because amen. He is the God of abundance and that is not a prosperity gospel. That is kingdom living. He is the God
Come
of abundance.
On, let's go, Kara.
I'll preface the whole thing with that. Okay. I have the honor of sitting, you know, fairly close on the side to the side of the stage. I've just kind of created that space
front
as
row.
Just the place where I meet with God there and I'm just there present for people. And so I'm there worshiping because the worship was just powerful that mm-hmm. night. Like it was powerful.
Yeah.
And
intimate,
so,
intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
And so I'm then observing you and Alex start praying over people. And before I know it, there's people on the ground and I'm like, what's happening? So it was like, it was one after the next, Alex would pray for them. And then they would end up on the ground. And of course there's people around them that are helping them. So no one's getting hurt. But it was more than that. It was also like, the Holy, I believe, maybe you can elaborate on this, that mm-hmm. the glory of God or the Holy Spirit was so there that like some of them were down for a long time, yes. longer than I anticipated or understood.
Yes.
I can't even fully wrap my mind around it.
We'll go there. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really important that we theologically understand this, that this isn't just some weird thing that's happening. Because by the time I opened up my eyes, I was still praying for the first person. You know, like I was doing the typical traditional way that we've known how to do it. Like I'm praying over them for minutes and minutes at a time.
Yeah.
I open up my eyes while I'm still praying for the first person. And there's at least two or three people on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah.
And then while I'm looking up and still praying, he's going to the fourth person and then maybe the fifth person. So before I was even done with my first person praying, there were five people on the ground completely out into your observation, they're solidly out.
Yes.
I mean, almost
for an extended period of time.
Like they're asleep.
Yes.
Like they're ill in bed. I mean, so I want to talk about this for a moment because there's a couple of different knee-jerk reactions and then there's everything in between. So we could talk about the polarization of perspectives. That anytime you have something extreme, like we see in politics, you have extreme right and you have extreme left, you know, Democrat, Republican, and those get extreme. And then you have these middle, and then you have the tension of people leaning on either sides. Yeah. And the same is true in so many different areas. You know, Dave Ramsey talks financially. There's the free spirit and there's the nerd. Those are polarizations. Those are opposites. Now, when it comes to a night like that night, on one level, I mean, we saw somebody the next day at the airport and we heard a comment from someone who observed, like, wait a second. I've never seen anything like that. Is Journey going crazy? Where is that in the Bible? Show me that in the Bible. And he didn't ask me this question. He saw someone in his Bible study. You know, where is that in the Bible?
And for the record, that's the only one we've even heard.
That's the only one we've heard. But if one person has a question, I bet other people do as well.
Sure.
Sometimes people even leave not even seeking
asking,
answers. Yeah, without going to the Word of God, studying and understanding greater things. And when we forfeit being uncomfortable and growing, we completely lose what faith is about. Mm-hmm. Faith is the substance of things unseen, meaning we don't have it yet.
Yeah.
We keep growing in faith. We keep getting closer to God. And then I've had the opposite. I have had several people tell me like, oh, I come from, and then fill in the blank, an assembly of God, and people are slain in the spirit all the time. And you'd hear that language, slain in the spirit. And one guy even asked him like, what does that mean to you, slain in the spirit? Because that's a term too that's not used in the scriptures. But there are spiritual terms we use today that aren't in the scriptures that we can support in the scripture, like the Trinity. The Trinity is not in the Bible, but we do see a triune God over and over in scriptures. So we refer to God as the Trinity because we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit frequently woven throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. So my response to even that person who even asked, like, well, what do you say to that when someone, you know, says, is that even in the Bible? And I say, well, it's all over the Bible, Old and New Testament, that when the presence of God is evident, then there's a physical reaction.
Yeah.
We see it. Abram falls down in the presence of God. Ezekiel falls down in the presence of God. Daniel falls down in the presence of God. Those are some Old Testament real examples. This isn't parables. This isn't examples.
Yeah.
Then Jesus comes onto the scene and we have the fullness of God in the flesh. So we have the incarnation of God, 100% God in 100% man. Mm-hmm. So you want to know the glory of God? You get to know Jesus, the man, the person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh. Now, a couple of things I would just point out in terms of scripture, just because as I've thought about these things, you know, as we look at the response of who Jesus is, we see over and over, Kara, people falling down at the presence of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Peter, James, and John, when they're taking up to the mount with Jesus and Moses and Elijah appear, Peter, James, and John, they literally fall down the presence of the glory of God.
Yeah.
There was a transfiguration. That word literally is a metamorphosis. There was a complete change where they saw the glory of God. His physical clothes changed. There must have been something in the atmosphere. There was complete presence of God. God. And we see that in the book of Matthew chapter 17, we see that when they came before Jesus, I'm looking this up, so forgive me for looking. Matthew 17, verse 5. Jesus was, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So we already have a triune God right there. We got the cloud, the Holy Spirit. We got the voice of the Father, and then we have Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we have a triune God right there. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. Mm. So instantly we've got an example of the glory of God, followers of Jesus falling down. Now remember in the arrest of Jesus, when all the soldiers come before Jesus and they go to arrest him and they ask, you know, who Jesus is. I'm blanking on the text. I think it's in John. I'm going to go there. I think it's John 18. But when they come and he says, "I am," and they all fall down. In fact, it's a crazy text because it's wild. They come to arrest him, and out of nowhere, the glory of God comes. Mm. There's a little mini revival at the Mount of Olives when they come to arrest Jesus. Here it is, John 18. Let me look at verse 5 and 6. So they answer Jesus. Oh, let's see. No, Jesus asked them. That's how it starts in verse 4. "Whom do you seek?" They respond. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who had betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said, "I am he," they withdrew back and fell to the ground.
Mm.
So Jesus implying that he is Yahweh, that I am who I am,
yeah,
the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, when he's answering who he is, they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. There's only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is the Son of God who came in the flesh. And he says, "I am he." They fall down as though dead. Now, that's not the only example. Let me give you just a few more examples, if we will. In the book of Revelation, I love this. When John gets a glimpse of Jesus, here's a guy that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, touched Jesus. He was there. And in Revelation chapter 1, he falls down as though
dead. Yeah.
Now that word dead in the Greek is nekros, which means like as a corpse. It's what you saw that night. It's people laying down.
Yeah.
It's like
as though dead.
Like what happened to them? Like you were alive.
Yeah.
A seconds ago, you look normal.
Yeah.
And then Alex came and powerfully laid his hands on the head, and they fell down as though dead.
Yeah.
There was one person who was there for probably close to an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and people were fanning her and, you know, just the glory of God was so great. Now, was it Alex there? No.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit was so invited that we get to see God in a fresh way. Now, when you read through the book of Acts, we see continually really curious and interesting things happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't avoid it. By the time you get to Acts chapter 5, we're reading about signs, wonders. I mean, there's interesting places where they're bringing the sick and those who are oppressed by demons, and they could lay him down, and if only Peter's shadow would come over them. We read later about handkerchiefs. There's something. Is it the shadow? Is it the handkerchief? Mm-hmm. Is it the prayer? No, it's none of those things.
Right.
It is the presence and the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, how then do you articulate this in a tangible, earthly way? It's hard to. And so people have come up with phrases like slain in the spirit.
Yeah.
And then over the ages, we particularly see in the church history, there have been people who have used and abused what they've witnessed.
Right. And I think that's where the conversation, well, that's why I wanted to even preface with what I preface with, because I do think it's so easy to look at the examples that people have abused this stuff.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. Like, that things have been faked, things have been used for self agendas, like, and that's where I just want to be really careful of like that. I believe that none of that happened that night. I believe it was a very genuine.
Absolutely. And even if it did, it would have been within individuals. It wasn't as the church as a whole.
Yeah.
We can't control people. Yeah. We don't know when someone's worshiping with all their heart. It can look good on the outside, but we don't even know what's happening on the inside.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone can be still. Like I've been sobered in, you know, months past when the reality of like what a worship team might experience on a platform from the people. And they might say, wow, the Holy Spirit sure was present. And what they're articulating is emotionally the people were engaged. Mm-hmm. And that could be true. The Holy Spirit might be present. But when an audience is not as engaged and is not as powerful, it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not present. It might just mean we have a house full of non-believers or new believers or people that are on a journey of faith.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean there's any less presence of the Holy Spirit when we don't see the operation of charisma or gifts, or when we don't see people passionately or emotionally pursuing God. The presence of God is most effective when we see life transformation, when there's repentance of sin, when there's healing of the sick, when there's deliverance of demons. Yeah. This is what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, because the Lord is Spirit. So when we invite the Spirit of God, there's going to be freedom.
And I believe freedom happened that
Amen.
Night.
And we saw it. I mean, people were weeping.
Yeah, there was some wailing.
Convulsing. Yeah. Like there was a, you know, I mean, I found myself, you know, praying over people. And I just was like, I didn't know. This is new for me as well. Yeah. I've experienced this in Uganda, but I've never experienced this at Journey Church in Bend.
No.
But I've come back and told you countless stories of experiencing this in
cross-cultural. Well, and I've asked you, I think in previous podcasts, like why is there such a divide between the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and how he moves in Uganda and at Journey Church in Bend, because that's all I can speak for.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not going to speak for the American church. But for us, you know, why is there a divide?
Yes. And you know, there are multiple reasons. And culturally, I'd say we as the American church are consumers and we're independent.
Yes.
We're oftentimes concerned about ourselves versus community.
Yeah.
And we forfeit what often happens with a community united with spirit of repentance and really hearts longing and seeking God.
Yeah.
And God is, He will manifest himself where he's welcome.
Yeah.
You know, we see this over and over where God will withdraw when we choose sins, when we choose idolatry, when we choose the false gods, God will choose not to move in the same ways, even though he loves us. And even though we read in books like Romans that it's God's kindness and his patience that leads to repentance. Because God allows sin does not mean he's tolerating it and okay with it, you know, but he's actually longing for us to repent and come home, you know, and that we would see the celebration of what happens. Another example, Kara, of the glory of God, of just full surrendered. And, you know, this is why sometimes I even get on my knees, not just because this example, but because of this heart and spirit is in Luke chapter 17. We read of 10 lepers who encounter Jesus, which is awesome. And they plead with Jesus. We would call that petitioning or prayer. They plead with Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." John 17, verse 13. Mm-hmm. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." So there's some action, there's some application. Yeah. We might go so far as say there's obedience. Jesus says, "Okay, you've encountered me.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do with that encounter?
Yeah.
You know, you go to church, you hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do with the word
with
of God?"
Yeah.
And as they went, they were cleansed. So God worked in all 10 of their lives. Verse 15 says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God, and with a loud voice," so there's the wailing, "with a loud voice, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Luke, the doctor, notes, Now, he was a Samaritan. He would be one that someone would judge. Who is this person being at church? Look at how undignified they are on the ground, on their face, in front of the church. Look at how that person is reacting loud. Well, sometimes all of those things, and I'm not saying that that church is just meant to be a place of confusion. That's why we set apart Pursuit Night as a unique time, as a body of believers that are on a pursuit of God. And it was powerful. Yeah. I mean, at that point, I had to be... I mean, we're still talking about the beginning of that prayer session. That point, I had to be much more conscious. And I had like two prayers going on. I was multitasking. I was praying about what was happening, asking that God would be glorified, that this would be genuine. I'm thanking God at the same time. Like, it's almost like I'm this out-of-body experience. I'm like, Lord, I've been praying for this for years. I mean, I told Pastor Alex... just that week we went to lunch and I told him about Pursuit Night the week before, how there was such an intimacy with God at one moment when I was praying. I was just praying for a Pentecost moment. And Pastor Alex asked me, he said, what does that mean to you? Do you like, what is it, Acts chapter, like exactly what happened there? I said, no, like if it is tongues of fire, like physically, awesome. If it is tongues in different languages, awesome. But I don't even know. It could be a rumbling like an earthquake under the ground. It could be a wind blowing through the auditorium. It could be laughter like we've seen in past revivals. It could be people slain in the spirit. I don't even know. It could be just an awe and a silence and a stillness where everybody's completely quiet. And all we do, like Elijah, is we're in awe and the Holy Spirit tells us, I'm in the silence. I didn't, my prayer for God's presence like Pentecost is just an outpouring. It's an encounter. It's an experience. It's something fresh. It's new. Like I know we're sealed and given the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. I don't doubt that God doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but I do believe just as we witness in the scriptures over and over, there are moments of greater intimacy, and that's what I'm praying for. So here I'm praying silently, not out loud, for the church journey in that moment. Then I'm praying for the people in front of me. And I'm really even asking God, the Holy Spirit, help me be obedient on what to pray. Give me scriptures. And I found myself even praying some of the same prayers over people, meaning I was praying scriptures over them and believing it. And it was a wild experience for me, Kara. As I was seeing people just laying down, and we had a staff person who actually wasn't even coming up. I don't believe she was even coming up for prayer, but Pastor Alex prayed over her and she fell down. I mean, just as if dead. And people came over and were praying over her. And in the middle of her, she explains it this way. And this is second or third hand now, but she explained it this way, that she couldn't get up. She was just present with what she could hear around her, but actually the weight of God's glory was so great. Now that's biblical. The Hebrew word kabod, or you know, in the Hebrew kavod, the word glory, which is the Hebrew word kavod, it just translated literally. If you were to look at the definition, it's just weight. It's just one word, weight. So if I go to the gym and I pick up a weight, the smaller the weight, the easier it is to pick up. I don't fall down. But if I get a really heavy weight, like if I try to pick up, you know, 200 pounds, my body physically has a hard time. I have to use every muscle. I have to be careful because the weight is so great compared to me. I'm nothing compared to that weight. So when we talk about God's glory, there's a physical manifest. So the greater the glory, the greater the weight. And so she explained that she couldn't even move. And so one person praying over her was a family member. And this person was praying in tongues, a different language. And it wasn't the prayer of interpretation in this moment. This was privately a prayer language, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. And she's praying, and this person laying on the ground is listening and just observing. Then out of nowhere, she's just hearing really clear English. And I mean, every prayer that this person who was in tongues is now in English. And as she's going, she's, you know, coming to herself, and, you know, she's coming out of this place of glory. She simply just asks, were you praying in English or tongues? And the answer right away was all of it was tongues. I never prayed a single prayer in English. And she said, well, that's crazy because I think God just gave me a spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues. And the joy even night, there was just, there was, to your point, Kara, there was healing in so many different areas. Yeah. I mean, just across the board, one gal came up to me, Kara, and asked for prayer. And I wasn't asking people what they wanted prayer for. I just started praying for her. Oh. But this person just right away said, could you pray for me? I've got migraines. And I asked her, I said, well, how long have you had migraines? She said, since childhood, and they're constant and they're overwhelming. And I realized right there, this is a spiritual issue. This isn't just a health issue. And so I was praying over her, and I was praying in the name of Jesus Christ and Jehovah Rapha. And I'm just praying the one that knows our nervous systems and our brains, and just believing God over these things. And I'm, as I'm pressing into prayer, one of our prayer team was right there. And it was neat that night because people were just joining in prayer. Yeah. I didn't invite this prayer person, but it was a woman praying over a woman with me. It was awesome.
People were laying hands on each other. It was beautiful. For each other.
I just felt the impression. I asked her, her name's Georgianne. I said, Georgianne, do you have a word for her? Mm. You know, because I was feeling like the best way I can explain it and the pressure in my heart is we weren't getting breakthrough with this. Mm. I didn't ask the gal. Yeah. I just felt it, you know, and she said, yeah, I'm sensing that the Lord wants to heal your heart, that there's some places in your heart that need healing and that you need to release that to the Lord. And as she's explaining this, she's not giving exact details of what it is. This gal just starts weeping. So the Holy Spirit was just speaking to her. You need to forgive. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of your heart first.
And which is ultimately what he cares about, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, he cares about our physical, but our heart is what matters.
So. Yeah. If he fixes the headache and you still have unforgiveness,
totally.
Then, you know, we're missing it. Like that's like the man that was laid down through the roof. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Long before he could walk, he did the greater miracle. Yeah. What's most important is salvation. Right. It's sanctification. It's being in the presence of God. It's accepting the righteousness of God, that atonement that Jesus has done for us. So now my prayers over her changed. I said, Lord, I'm not just praying for the headaches. Yeah. I'm praying for the heart.
Yeah.
And I love just that illustration you gave of it's like we move from the head knowledge of we believe God. We know in our heads we believe God. We believe he's all powerful. We believe he can do anything. We read with knowledge what God does in the scriptures, even in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But has it moved to the experience? Has it moved to my heart? Yeah.
Is it changing my life?
Yes.
Is it changing my actions? Is it changing my perspective?
Yeah.
Is it changing my prayers?
Yes.
I think that I've had that transition in my own faith, and it's been a journey because, of the American way. Like we're such a Greco-Roman culture. We're such a culture of knowledge of where Bible study is Bible study.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend hours studying, you can study the original, you know,
Greek
language.
And Hebrew,
and understand it with just clarity, but until it actually goes from your head to your feet and you're actually walking the thing out, there's a disconnect in our faith. And I feel like we're actually, if I could take that to a bigger level, we're actually transitioning at the church, I feel like, from head to heart.
Amen.
And it's really powerful. Like actually this conversation reminds me of, I believe we talked about it on this podcast, but I don't know, maybe a month ago, our oldest daughter was back from England.
Mm-hmm.
She's helping in the kids' classroom on a pursuit night.
The first week she was back.
Yeah. I mean, literally kids are laying hands on each other. And McKenna said, she describes one of the kids as, it sounded like the kid was speaking Hebrew. And
a child
speaking Hebrew that did not know Hebrew,
right?
like we are seeing a movement of God in our body that is, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, amen. And God gets the glory.
Amen. Absolutely.
And now that you even say that, how prophetic and beautiful that it started in our kids before it came to the adults.
Weeks before Sunday night.
Amen. And I believed it. I mean, I had her share that the next week. This was now 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was before Easter, I believe, where I'm just so in awe and honored that God would allow our kids, because we have prophesied this over Journey Kids since day one, that they are not the future church.
Yes.
We refuse to believe that we're doing childcare, that one day these kids are going to come into the big room or to the sanctuary and now you get church. No, if you're learning the Bible and you're singing songs to God and you're giving your life to Jesus, that is no less important to God than yes. it is for adults in a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And so there, we call it Journey Kids Church, you know, and they get the same person of the Holy Spirit we do. They don't get a small version of God, a small Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so to believe that and then now to see it.
Yeah.
Where even like Easter Sunday, I remember hearing stories from our elementary class that kids were giving their lives to Jesus. These are first-time visitors, unchurched kids are accepting Jesus, and the believing kids who have already received Jesus mm-hmm. are coming over and laying hands and yeah. praying over them
yeah.
and then teaching them. Mm-hmm. Here's what this means now, and showing them the Bible, and kids are eager, like, I don't have a Bible. Can I get a Bible? And I mean, we give away hundreds of Bibles. And so it's not like an either or, like, is it the head or the heart? It's both.
Absolutely.
You study the word that's in the head. We get in the word, we study it like the Bereans, you test it and you go to God's
Absolutely.
Word and you want to know the context. You don't just read it through the American Western lens.
Yes.
You want to know what was the saying in the original context. But then in the heart, you also want to know the Spirit. What is the application for the church today?
Yeah.
Until Christ returns, what is it for us today
yeah.
that we would be moved to action, that
right.
the Spirit of God would work through, that we yeah. would...
That we actually are the hands and feet of Jesus.
Come on. As Paul says, we would walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
That we would live in it, that there's no longer a separation of a Christian. If you're a police officer,
yeah.
you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit as a police officer.
Right.
And if you get fired for using your gifts, then go back to the book of Acts
yeah.
and see that you'd count it as worthy for yeah. persecution.
Yeah.
Jesus promised it in Matthew 5.
Yeah.
Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' mm-hmm. sake. That if you're a doctor, you would care more about prayer than mm-hmm. your hands doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a counselor, you seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit before you just give,
yeah.
you know.
Well, and when you really have that revelation that we live in such a spiritual world,
mm-hmm.
like I do think it can be a paradigm shift.
It is.
Where you're no longer understanding such a bigger picture that we're no longer just living within the confines of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, you know, God is so much bigger and there's a spiritual world
mm-hmm.
that is accessible to us.
Amen.
He tells us to run to the throne.
Yes.
You know, and it's amazing that we even can. So
it's eye awakening. It's the revelation that we're having now. And by the grace of God, it's not just us. I mean, it would be a terrible thing if it's just like you and me are experiencing this and then we're trying to like get other people to, but it's like overwhelming. And in the middle of it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this Sunday, it's like God is doing the craziest, greatest things that we've ever experienced in our lives. And then at the same time, like privately, we're going through some of the greatest difficulty mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's so wild, the dichotomy, because biblically it just makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, in the book of Acts, it's like, if there's a miracle, yeah. we'll expect persecution.
Mm-hmm.
If the church grows, I should say it this way. If there's a miracle, there's persecution. Where there's persecution, the church grows.
Yeah.
It's a common
true.
Theme
yeah.
I'm reading through the book
yeah.
of Acts. Like there's this multiplication.
Yeah.
So it's like, as you're going through pain, there's actually a purpose in that people
yeah.
get to see that, no, this is real.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a game. This wasn't a facade. Like, hey, if you beat me, now I'm going to shut up and not talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, if you beat me, I'm going to count it as worthy
yeah.
that actually you consider me a threat enemy, that you want to try to shut me up. Well, that only inspired me to
yeah.
preach louder, pray bolder, to mm-hmm. believe even greater things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say right now, more than ever in our lives before. And maybe it's the revelation, because I mean, we've done two steps forward, one step back, you know, where it's mm-hmm. like, hey, God's doing a good thing. And then it's like, oh, it's really hard. Or,
yeah.
you know, God's doing a good thing. Oh, it's really hard. But I would just believe right now, because we're so in tune, like my prayer life has increased dramatically,
yeah.
the boldness of my prayers. And it's wild. It's just, as I've shared with you, it sounds so stinking silly that you pray and you pray in boldness and in faith, and then God does exactly what you pray for.
Right.
And when
and
God
surprised.
Does it, you're still surprised.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't be. It should
right.
just be like, thank you, Lord. You did
yeah.
exactly what I prayed for. But instead
yeah.
it's like
shocked.
I can't believe this worked.
Yeah.
Because,
right.
you know, we talk about God's not like a vending machine where you put in the money, you hit the buttons, and then the thing comes out. But yet when you pray and you get what you asked for, it's like, oh my, like, Lord, this worked. And you know, you want to be really careful that you don't just treat God like a formula. You pray and then you get. It's actually about everything we've just talked about thus far. It's practicing the presence of God. It's reading God's word. It's asking God and inviting him into this story, into our lives, meaning God's word mm-hmm. in our lives. It's putting it into practice. And when you do it, you do get to ask.
Yeah.
And fine. You get to knock and the door's open.
Right.
You know, or ask and receive, seek and find. I mean, these are real promises of Jesus. Yeah. And as long as you're in God's will, he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's exciting. I'm excited to just be, I feel honored that we're even able to be a part of the, you know, what God's doing right now.
Me too.
In this present moment in the season of our life and where we are. And, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that our kids are a part of it.
Me too.
So as hard as, you know, this season is, walking through some hard things, it's like equally good.
Yes.
So it's both.
I would agree with you, Kara. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I think even the hardships we've been through in the past have led us to this present reality to do things differently.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the great opportunities in life is to allow God to teach you and to grow through things.
Yeah. Fail forward.
It comes back to like what Pastor Alex says, like there is no neutral. Like you don't just go through hardships. So you either completely surrender to God and learn and grow, or you actually grow further away.
Yeah.
And there's a myriad of different responses that can happen, but either your faith decreases or you grow bitter, you have unforgiveness. Something happens when you don't allow God to work through the crap, you know, then you...
Well, and if we see it like, you know, I think James says, consider it pure joy when we go through trials of many kinds. And it's producing all these things in us. So
yes,
like, it reminds me of the analogy of pruning. So like, pruning is such a necessary thing for a healthy plant or a healthy, you know, tree. Or
about vines with
grapes. For a healthy
grapes,
vine, right? Okay, it's such a necessary thing.
Yes.
You can look at it two different ways. You can look at pruning as like you're cutting it so far back now there's hardly, you know, there's nothing left of it, but then you could also look at it as that is going to produce, it's like pruning forward.
Yeah.
So you're pruning to produce fruit.
Yeah.
So you could get in the pruning, you could totally
be chopped down
and be a victim and allow it to bring you down. Or you can see the pruning as, oh no, this is actually, God's pruning me forward.
We have a good story about that with our home in Arizona. Our neighbors had this huge bush that looked like a tree. And it's gorgeous. It has like these exotic flowers, and we're not used to the way that, you know, the Southern Hemisphere grows things compared to our home here in Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, this is where we spend 99% of our time. Yeah. And there's this gorgeous tree with gorgeous flowers, like hibiscus type flowers, but it's not hibiscus. It's
they look tropical.
Beautiful, yellow and pink and orange. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And all over, and it was colorful, and it kind of like guarded us from seeing the neighbor's roof. And it was huge, as a big bush that almost looked like a tree. And we were down there when they cut it down, and we thought they cut it entirely. We thought they took it out.
We did.
So
I freaked out.
Watching the landscapers, we had assumed they had completely cut it out. Months and months and months go by. I mean, many, many months go by. In fact, I don't even know, it might've been closer to a year, but then we have that same type of a bush in our front yard.
Yeah.
And our landscapers did the
same thing.
Why did you do this? This is terrifying. And instantly, I think there was a light bulb moment where we climbed up that big concrete wall that's like 10 feet tall and looked over the neighbor's house. And I saw that bush that we thought was cut down. This is going to be a really weird break here. The batteries died in the recorder that we were recording in.
Whoops.
So I just listened to where we stopped off. We're talking about peeking over and seeing that the bush had been regrown, and what we thought was an annihilation or taking out or complete removal was actually just a deep pruning.
Yeah.
And I love the illustration that you gave. And I just wanted to bring up that story because I think so many times in our lives, we're so confused when challenges come, when trials come, when burdens come. It's like, God, why did you remove that from my life? Why did you do this to me? And then many months later, there's such new yeah. fruit and there's beauty. And that's exactly what happened down in Arizona.
Right.
It's what happens in our own lives.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus gave that illustration in John chapter 15, you know, of
yeah.
that he is the vine,
yeah, we're the branches,
and the Father, he's the gardener,
yep.
goes through and he takes out, he knows what's best.
Yeah.
And even if we don't know, sometimes we'll be shocked.
Yeah.
You know,
it's confusing.
Yes.
It's painful.
But as you get revelation, you learn, you grow, you yeah. mature, you're like, oh, hey, we've been here before.
Yeah.
Now we trust landscapers.
Right.
We realize it's not just what meets the eye. I mean, people take everything, what we see, we think that's it.
Yeah.
And that's not it. That's true physically. It's true spiritually. It's true emotionally. And so if we can encourage anyone today, just at what you're going through, God might be doing more than you can see right now.
Amen. Absolutely. I think he's at work when we don't know it or feel it or yes. think it.
There's
or when it's confusing.
Coming. Yes.
God, he is sovereign.
Mm.
He is for us. He
yes.
loves us.
Yes.
He desires the best. He wants our hearts. And sometimes we have to go to, he lets us go to hard places.
Yes.
To get our hearts.
Yes.
So.
I completely agree. And in the moment, in the childlikeness, we don't even know what the Father's doing.
Yeah.
But he
but we can trust that yes. he's a good Father.
Come on.
And he knows what he's doing. So we can definitely rest assured that if you're going through a hard time, a hard season, if you feel like you're being pruned,
yes.
That we just can be assured that he loves you and he has the best in mind for you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're such a good God. Well, this has been a really, really great time having a conversation about what God is doing. I want to just confess to you, Kara, we are sitting in a room and I'm looking across at you and your eyes are so beautiful that sometimes
wow.
sometimes they're so intimate, I have a hard time staring at you.
Wow.
Like sometimes I have to look away because you have the most beautiful blue eyes.
Thank you.
That they're,
nice of you.
Yeah, I just had to tell you because like there's some moments that I'm just like, It's like being in the presence of God. Like, I'm not saying you're like God, but there's that intimacy that mm. sometimes it's just different. And I would just say, like, looking at you today,
mm.
I'm just like, I'm humbled. I find myself wanting to like look down. So if you're like, why can't he like hold eye contact for more than like
wow.
20 seconds? Like,
it's, well, thanks.
Just because you're beautiful. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I love doing life with you.
Thank
and
you.
I love that we can do this together and that anyone would actually even listen. One day our kids can look back and maybe even long after we're gone. Yeah, that's something I didn't even get to talk about this week was Pastor Jim's celebration of life.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Maybe we could talk about that. Maybe we could do a special podcast soon
because yeah.
that was life-altering for me. That lit a fire mm-hmm. within me. I would love to share some
yeah,
stories
I would
about
love
that.
To,
and
let's do that.
Talk through that as well. But this has been good today. I think we have enough to go off today. And again, if you guys have questions, please engage with us. We would love to hear from you. What do you want to hear? And what would you like to learn from us? And until then, we're just going to share with you what we're learning, what
yeah.
we're going through in very real time. Thanks for your time today. I want to just pray us out, and we look forward to spending time with you next time. Lord, would you please bless us in such a way that we would get to know you even greater? More of you and less of us, we pray, Lord Jesus. I pray for every person that is even listening to this today for clarity, that there would be no confusion, but instead we'd be inspired to not only get into your word, but experience more of you, Jesus, in our lives. So we thank you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God that came into the flesh, that you have overcome the enemy, that we too have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, that is you, Jesus, and the word of our testimony. Today, we're just asking for more. We're asking for a movement of God in your church, that there would be revival for such a time as this, a great awakening, that we would have an anticipation that, Jesus, you are coming soon. So we look up, we know our redemption is near, that in the midst of all the trials happening around the world, we know that it's only bringing us closer to you. So prune, have your way. May we bear much fruit for your glory. May we abide in you and in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless
Amen.
Y'all.
Thanks for joining us on The Journey of Confessions of a Pastor. Please hit subscribe and rate. We are better together. See you next time.